Welcome everyone here tonight. I believe that God who has brought us here has brought us to do us good in Jesus' name. Please, are you seeing your book? You can write? All right. I'm sure that by tomorrow we'll have a brighter atmosphere. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 5. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation. And I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the soul that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. I am speaking on the subject, come up hither. Dash. Abraham's divine encounter. Come up hither. And our emphasis, Abraham's divine encounter. Our study objective is first to understand the results of Abraham's encounter. And second, to understand the reasons, or some reasons, or understanding reasons for Abraham's encounter. The results of Abraham's encounter and reasons for Abraham's encounter. One of the forces responsible for the lift up and shift up of life and destiny is the force of divine encounter. We are talking about come up hither. One of the forces that takes people up, that shifts people up, is the force of divine encounter. It is not possible to encounter God on the same spot. Abraham had an encounter. It was a total life turnaround. Moses had an encounter. It was a total life turnaround. Jacob had an encounter. Everything turned. Solomon had an encounter. Everything turned. Now, what were the results of Abraham's divine encounter? Before we know the results, we'll read Genesis chapter 11, verse 27 to 29. Genesis 11. He said, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. Back up again, verse 27. Terah was the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and the father of Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran, that is Lot's father, died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in the Ur of the Chaldees. And Abraham and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. We'll stop there. Every one of us here knows that Abraham was a man in obscurity that God took to notoriety. The man in the background that God took to the forefront. What were the results of the encounter Abraham had with God? Number one, it was the breaking of a generational curse. The encounter of Abraham broke a generational curse. It was the curse of dying before time, living without relevance, and starting without finishing. That was the three things that happened in the family of Abraham. It was the curse of dying before time. Haran died before his father. It was the curse of living without relevance. And it was the curse of starting without finishing. That was what happened in Genesis chapter 11, verse 31, all the way to verse 32. When Terah, Abraham's father, took Abraham's his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abraham's wife, and they went forth to go with them from the Chaldees to go into the land of the Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwell there. He was meant to go to Canaan, but he came to Haran and stopped there. And he died in Haran. There was a generational curse. I don't know what made Terah to stop. Some people stop because they feel they have succeeded. Some people stop because of the opposition. Some people stop because they fail to fulfill their vision. But Terah stopped. Terah stopped. And God encountered Abraham and broke the generational curse. I don't know who came in here with any form of generational curse. In this week-long convention and conference, that curse shall be broken. Whether it is a curse of starting without finishing, or the curse of living without relevance, or the curse of dying before time, I am anointed and appointed to announce to you, it shall be broken. Look at your neighbor, say, that curse shall be broken. That curse shall be broken. That curse shall be broken. Only one encounter from God is enough to counter the agenda of the devil. It doesn't matter who prayed for you and you are not free yet. It doesn't matter the number of deliverances you have gone through and yet you don't appear to be delivered. I am here with a mantle of divine encounter and I announce to you, the yoke shall be broken. Your deliverance shall be released. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. Number two, it was the breaking of a generational curse. That was the first thing that Abraham's encounter did for him. Number two, it was the reversal of a negative cycle. The reversal of a negative cycle. That actually will be the consequence of breaking the generational curse. What negative cycle? Haran, the father of Lot, did not finish his lifespan. He died before his father. It's an abomination for a child to die before his father. Children bury parents. Parents are not permitted to bury children. This Terah buried his son. Haran could not finish his lifespan. I'm sure you remember that the Bible told us in that Genesis chapter 11, I believe from verse 28, he died before his father. Haran died before his father. Somebody say after me, I cannot die before my father. Say it loud, I cannot die before my father. My father cannot bury me. And I cannot bury my children. Say it louder. My father cannot bury me. And I cannot bury my children. I am here to take authority over premature death.
Everything that is programmed against your life to cause you to die before your time, today it is arrested. It is arrested. Your father shall not bury you, and you shall not bury your children. In the name of Jesus, your father shall not bury you, and you shall not bury your children. Shout the loudest, amen.
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. And Haran died before his father, so he could not finish his lifespan. And Terah started a journey. He couldn't finish. In verse 31 of Genesis 11, Terah, Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, that is Lot, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, the plan and the vision was to go from the Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. And he came to Haran and dwelt there. Why should you be going to Canaan? Up in Haran. Nobody knew. But there seemed to be a cycle that says you can start life, but you can't finish it. Or you can start a journey but never finish the journey. But when God encountered Abraham, he broke it. In Genesis chapter 12 verse 5, Abraham started the same journey to go to the land of Canaan. The same land of Canaan. And Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And he did not stop on the road. And into the land of Canaan they came. Ay, 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 ay. There is somebody here. I am here to announce to you that negative cycle in your family, the divine encounter here shall break it. That amen is not a good amen at all. That negative pattern that you have noticed with your father, with your brothers, with your sisters, with your family members, I announce here that pattern shall be broken. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Lift your right hand and say, God shall use me to reverse the negative patterns of my family. I shall be an instrument to reverse the pattern. I shall start the journey and I shall finish the journey. I shall start the journey and I shall finish the journey. Somebody shout power. Take your seat. Can you see the benefit of a divine encounter? Just one encounter from God broke ancestral curse, generational curse, and then just one encounter from God reversed a negative cycle. And the third thing that the encounter did in the life of Abraham, it was the upgrade of spirituality. The upgrade of spirituality. Shatala baradagaya. It was a shift in spiritual frequency. It was a shift in spiritual operations. It was a shift in spiritual levels and dimensions. For your information, Abraham's father was an idol worshiper. Abraham was pulled out of an idolatrous background. Pastor, is it in the Bible? Joshua chapter 24. And in verse 2, Joshua 24 verse 2, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, and also the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. They served other gods. Abraham's father was a servant of other gods.
That was why God said, get out of your father's house. Leave the climate and the spiritual territory of your father. Leave that covering. Leave that history. Leave that background. Because I want to do something new in your life. Is God speaking to somebody here? Many of us, our lives have been limited by the kind of background you have come from. Limited by the witchcraft altars of your father's house. And the shrines and the occultic practices that your father or your forefather engaged in. And God said, I give you an encounter and I shift you from that cover. I am here to announce to somebody, the witchcraft of your father's house can never stop you anymore. The occultic background in your history, the idolatrous background of your father's house, of your family, shall never stop you anymore. There are some of us here tonight, people will never believe that you came out of that family and you are so spiritual and you are so on fire. They will not believe, because there are people here. The devil does not want you to be on fire. He doesn't want you to carry fire. He doesn't want you to be anointed. He says, no, nobody from your line did that. Where are you going? Where do you think you are going? But I am here to announce to you, you are shifting in levels. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Lift your right and say, Father, one encounter. This one encounter is what I am looking for. I want a shift in spirituality. I am tired of where I have been. I want to shift levels. And somebody is shifting right now. Help me tell three people around you, tell them you are shifting in levels. You are shifting in levels. You are shifting in level. You are shifting in level. Shout the loudest, amen. Deliverances are already happening. The shrine of your father's house, the idols of your father's house, the altars of your history, you are coming out of it. They can't stop you. They can't stop the oil that is meant for you. They can't stop your rise. They can't stop your lift. Shout power! One day a pastor came to me. He needed help and deliverance, help from God. As I was about to pray for him, I saw a mighty serpent. So I said to him, what is this serpent that I see? He said his father was a king and he serviced a serpent, mighty serpent, and that serpent came out every morning to greet the father, who bow for him like this and go back to his shrine. A serpent, big like a person, come out and prostrate for the king and return back to his den. And he said, for the sake of that, nobody has ever been a pastor. Not a Christian, but been a pastor in his family. Nobody. He was a person trying to be a Christian. And the serpent said, where are you going? And that yoke was broken. Maybe you are here, there is something fighting you like that. Tonight they shall be roasted by fire. Somebody shout power! Shout the loudest, power! During this period, in a short time, there shall be a period, a moment of encounter, and something shall break. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. And take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Mahashakala. Something is already breaking. The encounter achieved. It achieved the breaking. It was the breaking of a generational curse. It was the reversal of a negative cycle. It was the upgrade of spirituality. And number four, it was the fulfillment of generational destiny. The fulfillment of generational destiny. One encounter with God caused Abraham's generational destiny to be fulfilled. And somebody is saying, what does that mean? The tribe of Judah was the kingly tribe. And that the destiny of that family was royalty. So you had David and Solomon and Rehoboam and Hezekiah and King Asa, all from that family. It was a generation's destiny. I don't know, but it looks to me like there was something between Abraham's family and Canaan. Even though the man was a pagan, yet something in his heart was drawing him to Canaan. How many of you know that even when we didn't know God, God led us away from some errors? Are you hearing what I'm saying here? When the hand of God is on your life, even in the days when you don't know some things, he will just assist you to escape some things. Otherwise, the devil would have killed you before you got born again. Am I speaking to somebody here? So there was just something pulling Abraham's father. He didn't know what it was, but he felt like there is something in Canaan. It looks like the destiny of that family was hanging upon Canaan. And then when the man stopped in Haran and died, God picked on his son again. And he said, I want you to go to that same Canaan, where your father started and could not reach. I want you to reach there. I want you to collapse what confronted your father. I want you to kill what resisted your father. I want you to reach. I am speaking to somebody right now. God is speaking to somebody right now. Is God speaking to someone here? I am anointed to say that there are people here. The mantle on your family that the devil saw and fought your father. Fought your fathers. Maybe it was an apostolic mantle, a prophetic mantle, a millionaire's mantle, a billionaire's mantle. They tried, they rose and crashed. They tried to go forward and they couldn't go. Something stopped them. But I am here to announce to you, by the authority of Jesus, what stopped your father will never be able to stop you. Are you hearing what I'm... Let me tell you something. Some of us are going to be so massive, heavy, and the devil can do nothing about you. It's because you are not just going to fulfill your own destiny. You are going to fulfill the abandoned destiny of your lineage. Because God is not a waster. We are going to pursue. We are going to overtake. We are going to recover all. Everything my father was meant to achieve that he could not achieve, I shall achieve it. In addition to what I am meant to achieve on my own. Somebody shout, power! Yeah. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Everything my father was meant to achieve that he could not achieve, I shall achieve it in addition to what God wants me to achieve. Somebody shout, power! That's why Abraham was such a mega mystery. Because he was fulfilling not just a personal destiny, but a generation's. a generational destiny. And I have said that before. You know, Abraham and his father came to Haran and dwell there, and his father died. From there, God called him. Where your father stops shall be your starting point. The people in your lineage, the people on your lineage, where the devil stopped them is where you shall be starting from. Say that amen like a believer. Say a louder believer's amen. Look at somebody by your side. Say you are starting from where your father stopped. Say you shall fulfill your generation's destiny. Let me announce to somebody. All the devils that killed people before their time in your family, you shall handle them. They shall pay for it. Everything they held back from your lineage, la shagabagadagala, help that pastor there. Lekite kekipepeketeke shididi. Everything they held back from your family, from your lineage, it shall be delivered into your hands. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I met a Methodist clergyman. Maybe he's here tonight. And he told me he was posted to pastor the church that my father planted and pastored for six months. That my father planted it and pastored it, a Methodist church, for 6 months. And this church he planted, I think, in 1947 or 1950 or something. I said, wow, you planted? He said, yes, your father took church to that village. There was no church in that village. He took church to that village. Then one of my uncles told me, he said, in the Christmas of 1947 or 48, from night till morning, he was doing night preaching overnight, night till morning. And he asked somebody, said, who is that man preaching like that? He said, it's your uncle. That's how he preaches. So I got to him and I asked my father, I said, did you ever preach before? He said, we are the man who have original fire. I said, how do you mean? He said, he went from marketplace to marketplace. He will be on empty stomach for 7 days. I said, what? Then he became a traditional ruler. Then he entered into business. And then that the spiritual one almost disappeared. But he remained going to church. He kept giving big offerings in church. But he just, that one just act as if it disappeared. And then God said, that fire cannot die. One day I went home and I went to visit him. And as I arrived, people gathered en masse. Dr. Paul is around. They gathered en masse. I should pray for them. As I was I was the one praying for them. He was the one shouting fire. I laid and said, Ola, 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 Ola. He won't allow. I started laughing in the course of praying. He won't even allow me to pray. I would lay and say, fire, yeah, 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 yeah. That was when I knew the fire was inside. And God said, the mantle can never be lost. Let me let you know, mantles are not perishable. Mantles can never be lost. They can never perish. I am here to announce to somebody. Now from that same family, not just one person is preaching now, but several people, multiplication of mantles. I announce to you today, whatever the devil took from your father or your lineage is coming back to you 1,000-fold. It is coming back 1,000-fold. Lift your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I shall fulfill the destiny of my generation.
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. From now forward, don't just move with the consciousness of a person. Move with the consciousness of the representative of a generation. The representative of a lineage.
I don't just represent myself. I represent a family. I represent a lineage. I represent a generation. Is there anyone like that here? And that is why God will use you to do generational things. To do things that are bigger than what an individual can do. Shout the loudest. Amen.
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. And finally, number five, as we begin to try to round off, it was the fulfillment of a generation's destiny. And finally, it was the beginning of a new order. God encountered Abraham to begin something new. The beginning of a covenant generation of people. The beginning of a blessing generation of people. One encounter from God turns a man into a pace setter.
One encounter from God turns a woman into a frontliner, a road pointer. The first one. That is why we don't say the God of Terah, Abraham, and Isaac. Terah was not in the line. Terah was not in the picture. He said, even though I wanted to do some things with your father, but I begin something new. It is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He started with Abraham. He continued with Isaac, continued with Jacob, and continued permanently.
I am anointed to announce that there are people who came to this conference.
You will be the beginning of something. God will make you a reference for something. A reference of the blessing. A reference of power, a reference of prosperity, a reference of the covenant. So that the time is going to come in your life when people begin to make reference to you and make reference to your God. Something that had not happened before. Something that beats the imagination. Something that people will look and say, what is this? Something original. It's not going to be a copy. It's not going to be an imitation. Something new, something fresh, something powerful. Something incredible, something miraculous, something that will take the devil by surprise, something that will take the world by surprise. Somebody shout power!
I heard some very highly irrelevant, insignificant, infinitesimal, microscopic, statistical piece of materials that are only relevant for census purposes, who only hang on the internet to talk against people. They have not achieved anything, will never achieve anything for life, will be remembered for nothing. They say, why do you build a big church and not build factory? We are paying so many people on payroll. Over 5,000 to 10,000 people worked on this structure. They receive their salaries and earn their living. But I have bad news for that devil. You have seen nothing yet. You have seen nothing yet. Get ready for heart attack. Devil and your host, get ready for hypertension. You haven't seen the church yet. Hundreds of these kind of buildings will be rising around. Somebody shout power! Somebody shout power! Somebody shout power! Help me walk to 7 people. Tell them God wants to use you as a reference for something. God wants to use you as a reference for something. God wants to use you as a reference for something. He will use you as a reference for something. Be afraid of novelty. Don't be afraid of making a difference. Don't be afraid of being a reference. Because the people who do regular things are plenty. People who do normal things are plenty. Who do regular things are plenty. Who do familiar things are plenty. God is looking for some who will dare to do the irregular, the unusual, the abnormal. It's God speaking to somebody here. Shout power! Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. God brought you here to implicate you positively. To implicate you positively. Implicate your life. Implicate your family. Implicate your business. Implicate your destiny. Positively. Shout yes! Take your seat. In the presence of the Lord. Just one encounter. One encounter. It wiped out generational curse. It reversed a negative cycle. It upgraded Abraham's spirituality from an idolatrous background. It caused him to fulfill the destiny of his generation. It made him the beginner of a new order. For your information, something new has begun here. There is nobody connected here that can think small. There is nobody connected, associated, related here that can think little.
Your thinking is changing already. You are thinking mega, thinking large, thinking explosive. Shout power!
Take your seat. Hallelujah. What were the reasons? Let me give you some reasons very quickly, and then we shall pray and trust God for divine encounter tonight. What were the reasons for Abraham's encounter? Maybe the secrets. Why did God not choose Nahor, Abraham's brother? Why did he not choose Haran for an encounter? Why did he not choose even Terah, their father? There are some things in Abraham's life that I think God saw ahead that endeared him to God. I'll name about seven of them very fast. Number one is sensitivity to the voice of God. Being able to hear. One of the greatest challenges of many of us is inability to hear, to see, or to know what God is saying. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord said to Abraham, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. He said it before. He was saying it again. The Lord had said. How did he know it was the Lord? His father never told him anything about the Lord. Nobody ever taught him anything about the Lord. But the Lord said, and Abraham believed. Look at, continuing that. He said, get out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. He didn't even tell him the land from the beginning. Just stand up and move to where be going. I will show you. I will come to that shortly. How do I know the land? Keep going. I will show you. And then he went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan, he never heard that God said, this is the place. But he saw it, he knew it. He arrived there, he knew it. You know our problem? Because we can't hear God, we stop before the place. Because we can't hear God, we arrive at the place and passed and kept moving. And God cannot do the right thing at the wrong place. So we are wondering, what is this? Did God not call me? Did I not receive the vision? Yes, you had the vision, but you missed the direction. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Sensitivity, sensitivity, sensitivity. Look at Genesis chapter 22,
verse 1 to 2, and see another issue with sensitivity.
And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. The word is actually test. And said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold him. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, emphasis, whom thou lovest, not the one that came first, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Now, let's stop there first. Many people can hear God about everything, but not about giving.
There are people who have never heard, give me this. They never hear it. Otherwise, their lives have changed longest time.
When the first 1 million naira entered my hand, the first 500,000 first, God told me, this is not yet your harvest. It is your seed. I gave all of it. Then the first 1 million naira entered my hand. He says, still not your harvest. Your seed. I gave all of it. Someone said, when I told the story, said, that is the disadvantage of hearing God. Not a disadvantage. There is nowhere we can near where we are now without such hearings. Hearings.
And then God told Abraham, now in the same verse 2, he said, go into the land of Moriah and offer him there. I want you to see it again. For a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. He didn't tell him which mountain. One of the mountains which I will tell you of. Most important thing is to move. When you reach the land of Moriah, let me know. I will tell you about the mountain. Verse 3. I want you to see this. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place. He didn't say God told him the place. He saw it and knew. There is the realm where you see and the realm where you hear and the realm where you know. He saw the place and he didn't hear a voice, didn't see any extra vision, yet he knew. I've seen people who can hear and see, but they miss it in many things, including missing it in marriage. It's a ridicule of prophetic ministry. It's a ridicule of the mantle of revelation to miss basic things. He lifted up his eyes and saw. And then he went there. The last instruction he had was to kill Isaac. If he was not continuously hearing, he would have killed Isaac. And at the point of lifting up his hand, God said, hold it. For many of us, we don't want to hear anything again. Kill Isaac. Isaac could have been lost for if he didn't. Hearing is not a luxury. Knowing is not a luxury. Seeing is not a luxury. It is a critical necessity of destiny. A necessity of life, a necessity of destiny, to hear what God is saying, to see what God is saying, to know what God is saying, so you don't miss it and make, oh,
Oh, my wife and I came across heavily anointed daughter of God.
Powerful. With a big mantle.
Just walked into the wrong marriage. Miserable. Frustrated. Arrested. Because of probable failure to know. Failure to hear. How can you be facing east and who you are married to is facing west?
Can you believe in fasting and praying, and the person you are hooked up with believes in feasting and playing? You want to fast and pray. He wants to feast and play. It's the beginning of calamity, the beginning of disaster, and I call it catastrophe. I believe God picked on Abraham because of sensitivity.
Can I ask you a question? Who paid the first tithe in scripture? Who taught him?
Where did he read it from? Which book did he read it from? Which preacher preached on tithe? Who gave him the example of tithing? He got it by revelation. He got it by spiritual sensitivity and perception. That if the covenant was to work, this is the key.
So,
there are things that you didn't hear, you were not taught, that God, you just knew from God that this is what to do.
Let me tell you, if the only thing you came for this conference for is that your ears opened, your eyes opened, and your heart opened, and your sensitivity is amplified, then you have not failed. I prophesy to somebody here.
That kind of sensitivity to God, understanding of God, that kind of interaction with God that will make you to know what he wants to do and to make you fulfill your destiny is released upon you right now.
My heart bleeds. When I see people just miss it. Important things like ministry calling, important things like business, critical things like marriage. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. Lift your right hand and say, Father, open my eyes. Open my ears. Open my understanding. When our church began to grow very massively, even before it was growing as massive as it was, as it is, I saw a vision in the night, a revelation in the night. Whether it was a night vision or a dream, all I knew was a revelation. Where I was brought to the land, and someone pointed to me and, this is your land, the church's land. A landmark that identifies this, that is in case you see this, this is the land. We looked for land and whatever they would say is, oh, there's no land on the airport road. Oh, there can't be land there. I mean, that kind of place. Where can you find? How much land can you find there? We went somewhere else. We saw like 10 hectares opposite here, somewhere here, and they were charging us quarter of a billion in Naira. And We're ready, but it didn't look real.
So we went far out of town and got 700 hectares somewhere else, another 1,000 hectares, acres somewhere.
So, well, if we can't find land there, there is free land in Nasarawa State. And when we were about to start doing things, God said, remember where I should.
We do
not irrelevant, but remember where I showed you. I will never forget what he said to me. I think I said it to my wife. He said, 1 acre in my plan is better than 1,000 hectares outside.
Wow.
That is to say, don't be deceived by the fact that you can have hundreds of hectares there. Don't.
So I returned back home and I called one of the property persons and I said, kneel down. Bam!
It is your job to locate lands.
If it was my job, I would have located it. I anointed him with oil.
At so-and-so place on the airport road, go and look for the land. It is there.
Under 1 week, he returned. He said, I have found 500 hectares. And they are willing to sell as much as you are willing to buy.
Wow.
Long made short. Negotiations was done. And here we are. We would have ended somewhere for good and be struggling for the rest of life. And one wrong step can destroy all other previous steps. Just one. That is the place. Can you see the screen? Do you see the glory right there? Somebody shout hallelujah! Shout it louder! Shout it loudest!
Look at somebody by us. I say, you will not miss it. You cannot miss it. Remain standing. I have many things to say about Abraham. Let me say the second point. Then we'll stop there tonight. I'll continue tomorrow morning. Take your seat. If you want, you will be around tomorrow morning.
Abraham's secret was sensitivity to the voice of God. And number two, unconditional obedience. God knew that Abraham was a man who will not argue with direction. Obedience without condition. There are too many people who are too wise for God. Too smart for God. Their mind is their greatest liability. Whereas, it should have been an asset. They analyze divine instructions until they paralyze their destination.
Go to the land which I will show you. He didn't say the land which you shall live in. You show me the land to do what there?
Some of us would have been more excited to say, arise, get out of your father's hands to the land which I will give you. He didn't mention giving for anything.
You understand? Someone said, come and let me take you to a place where I will show you a car. The question is, show me what? You wanted me to know how beautiful the car is? Come to go and move to the place where I will show you a car. So I can do what with the car? Just be going. Am I communicating?
And like we say in Africa,
stupidly, we call it mumushiously. He went mumushiously, stupidiously.
You can imagine how his brothers would have asked him,
don't know.
How will you know when you reach there? I can't tell.
Where will you sleep before you reach there?
I don't know.
I can imagine the mockery. I can imagine the name calling. If men haven't mocked you, God can't make you. It is the mockery of men that facilitates the making of God. Those who are mocked by people are made by God. The unbelieving world, if they have not laughed at you and scorned at you, and your former friends, if they haven't laughed at you, you haven't started yet. And those who follow God end up gloriously.
Beloved, just calm down and start obeying instruction. Somebody asked me, he said, when you were entering into ministry, supposing you failed, what would you have done? I said, I didn't think about it. Because failure was not a consideration.
For your information, how much will be my salary was not in the question. How will I survive
was not. My father-in-law that you saw on Saturday was a professor at University of London, visiting prof with the Hammersmith Hospital, had already gotten us offers, myself and my wife, in that place at the time that the call came. The professor there wrote us twice, professor, forget her name, internal medicine, Polar Case. He said, your space is still here.
And wrote us again. It was at that same time
that the calling came. We looked stupid in his eyes. Stupid. My professor of surgery literally insulted the hell out of me. Kind of useless precocious pastor you're talking about. Wanted to be a pastor. Why did you study medicine?
He was angry personally. All of mockery. Towards in it, we came and lived in one room. In what we call boys' quarters here.
What do you call it in America? Carriage house, or what, is that right? Just one room inside it there, with my wife and daughter. And many other people at once. Left something lucrative. I had the house, my wife had the house when we were practicing. It's mockery. But today, there's no mockery. There are people who overcalculate. Just overcalculate. Okay, how will it be? Okay, God, you say I should give all of this. How will I eat? Okay, you say I should come into full-time ministry. What of my wife and children? I remember I had only one concern. Because of the way my mother labored for us, I said, Lord, I really want to make money and take care of my mother. What will you do? He said, leave her for me. I will take care. And he did. Is God speaking to somebody here? I want to stop here tonight. You are going to cry out to God with passion. Ability to hear, to see, to know. And having heard and seen and known, the grace to obey. Stand up on your feet.